This morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 10. And remember this, keep it in the back of your minds, or the front, either one. I was talking earlier to Alan and Kenny. I think Andrew was there. And I said, I wish I could preach again. I just can't remember things like I used to. I can't even remember scriptures like I used to. And so they said, well, why don't you write out your sermons if you want to preach? And Alan told me the guy that preached the message Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Who was it, Alan?
Jonathan Edwards. Huh? Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards. Alan said he read that every word of that sermon. And you know, back in those days, 1800s, somewhere along in there, people were more acceptable to the things of God than they were. So today, is you talk to people today and they just poo-poo, you know, just, I don't believe in that stuff. But people were falling down on their faces crying for salvation. So I said, okay, I'll do that. Write out my sermons. So that's what I'm going to do. But I want you to look at John chapter 10. Let's see. Now, verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt if you are the Christ, or if you are the Messiah, or if you are the anointed one that God has sent? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand, or out of my hand, and my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's double security of salvation. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came in the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And notice that the Lord was still trying to reach out to them. If you do not believe me, believe the works that I do. And he did many great works right before their eyes, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, and so forth. He did so many good works. The Apostle John says that all that he had done were to be contained in a book. There's no book that contained it. Not even the whole world could contain all the works that he had done. Good works. Now, he said, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear me, and they know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. And that's what we are, his sheep. Now, I want to bring to you before you this little devotion I have received from David Jeremiah's ministry. Jesus wins. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? You know the sting of death is sin. And that's what the unbelievers are going to pay the price for if they don't trust Christ as their Savior before they die. The sting of death is sin, and because of their sins, they will die in their sins and spend eternity in hell and experience the wrath of God. Can you imagine that? The wrath of God being poured out on you for all eternity? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 57 to 58. Death can do much more than sting. It shatters hearts, destroys dreams, and fractures families. The darkness and hopelessness can suffocate and immobilize. In addition, senseless tragedies, rudderless living without any moral standards whatsoever. Rudderless living in this postmodern age, an arrogant sense of entitlement and self-destructing addictions. Many aspects of life in a fallen world populated completely by sinners create chaos on earth and a living death for many. There are a lot of men living today. They're walking dead men. They have no life. They have no spiritual life. They reject God. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject the Bible. They reject the truth of God in His Word. I've talked to many of them. Say, I do not believe that. I don't believe that, Tim. I said, well, this is what God said. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you don't believe in God, let me explain to you why I believe in God. Why I know what He says is true in His Word. All of it. Now God is a God of promises. He's a God of plans, and He is a God of purpose. He promises us eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, He has a plan for your life. And I think some Christians kind of back off from that. Some Christians, I mean, really born-again Christians say, wait a minute, I'm going to do my own thing. I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Everything's fine. No, wait a minute. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you to treat others like they want to be treated. He has a plan for you to follow His Word and be obedient to what He encourages you to do. Do you have an unction to preach the gospel? Preach the gospel. Do you have an unction to witness to people, talk to people about the Lord? My mother, when she was 90 years old, so we'd go into the stores with my her daughter-in-law. And her daughter-in-law said, told us, your mom sees somebody in the store and starts witnessing to them. Hallelujah, praise God. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the plan that God's put in our life. Maybe he's giving you a plan of helps, like a Brother Kenny. Maybe he's giving you a plan of compassion and helping others. I know our sister Carol Thompson worked in the nursing home. Compassion. We have many things that we can do that God has urged us to do. And you have that unction from the Holy Spirit. This is the way that I want you to go. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have a gift that God has given us, and we should use it. And if you're retired and you get up in age like Alice, there's something you can do. Alice comes and fixes the breaking the bread, the table. She does that, and she helps clean the chapel up. She does different things. And there's something we can all do. But let me go on. But God intervened. He sent His Son to save us from sin, death, and hell. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross was not the end of the rescue mission. Sacrificial death, that's important. We need to make sacrifices to go out of our way sometimes to help do what God wants us to do. Three days later, Jesus rose from the dead, conqueror of sin and death and victory over hell. Amen, amen, amen. We are conquerors through Jesus. We have the victory. We won the victory over sin. We won the victory over death. We won the victory over hell. He has for us. Has won that victory. And we also are victors in the fact that we can live for Him. Be inspired by Him to live a life for Christ and for God. All our lives, every day, moment by moment, we need Jesus. He promises not to leave us nor forsake us. Never. And you think sometimes, well, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and this trouble here, and I'm really being tested in this. But God has won the victory over all those things. I'm hesitant to say this, but I feel like I need to. And honey, I hope you bear with me, okay? When Andrew passed away, bless his heart, we miss him. We love him. We will never get over it. Never, never. We'll get through it. By God's help, we get through it. You know, after the Lord took him home, he got saved 10 years old in Mountaintop Youth Camp. I just knelt down and I prayed, Lord, thank you for taking my son home. He's with you now. He belongs to you. Oh, what joy. I'm a little bit jealous because I'm not up there. That's where we all want to be. But he rescued him, took him home to heaven, and I thank God for his mercy and grace. Isn't his mercy and grace wonderful? Greater than we can even explain. Do you know how much God loves you? Can anybody tell me how much God loves you? Nobody can. It's too great to explain. It is so wonderful. We are victors over sickness. We are victors over pain. We are victors over a lot of things. When we go through pain and hurt, physical hurt and pain, we know Jesus knows all about it. And we can commit ourselves to Him. Lord, you know my situation. I'm trusting in you to bring me through. And He will. He will. He's conqueror of sin and death and victor over hell. Jesus' victory ensures our own sense on over sin and death. And we will celebrate that victory for eternity in heaven with Him. How marvelous that will be. We are so blessed to have a wonderful Savior who willingly laid down His life so we could have life forever. And that sweet eternal life with Jesus starts now as we walk with God through each day, trusting His guidance, provision, listening, learning, and enjoying His companionship. Our gracious God showers us with blessings and gives us peace that passeth understanding, along with contentment in Him that defies life's circumstances. We have that contentment. Regardless of our circumstances, we can praise God and rejoice in Him because of the victory that He has won for us. The contentment you make available to your people, Lord God, is not shaken by life's trials, losses, or pain. Those things threaten to derail us. But God, thank you for that cry of victory over sin and death, trials and pain. Now he says those things can derail us. Things like the trials, the losses, or pain. But in Jesus we have victory. Now what I want to tell you this morning, and this is what I have wrote down, is concerning the old story of Jesus and how wonderful it is. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What are the green pastures? That's the Word of God. Every morning we get up, we can go to the Word of God and read something about the Lord Jesus Christ and His truth. And we can feed on the Word of God. Just as a sheep feeds on the green grass in the green pasture, we can feed on the Word of God. And He leads me beside still waters. The still waters are the deep things of God. Like, for instance, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You think of the love of God and how much has He done for us. And those who follow me have everlasting life. We can rest in that security that He gives us. We know that when we die, where we're going. It's only after the 22nd Psalm where the green pastures are, the still waters are. On the other side of Psalms 22, it's only after we hear our Savior say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's turn to Psalms 22. And he says in verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? This is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, calling out to God. And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. But you're holy. You are holy, enthroned in praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you. You delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. And then Jesus says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. It's only after that we go to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We must know by experience the value of the bloodshed and see the wrath of the Father. The value of the blood is this: without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, this is my body, when concerning the Lord's Supper before the disciples. He said, this bread is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood, taking the cup, which is shed for you, for each one of us. Individually, Jesus made the full payment for our sins. He voluntarily took on himself the wrath and anger of men. And then he endured the wrath of God for our sins of the whole world. We have been justified by his blood, and we have been purchased by his blood. And there's so many other things concerning the blood of Christ that are beneficial to us. But think about this. He bore in his body the sins of the whole world. Now you take from Adam and Eve, they sinned. Everyone in the scriptures had some sin. Everyone, Abraham, Isaac, and on through the old scriptures, all have sinned. The scripture says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have no hope except from the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross at Calvary, where he died for the whole world. And when I think of that, the whole world, from Adam and Eve and on toward the rest of time, every man, woman, boy, girl that's ever been born, Jesus Christ took on himself all the sins that have been committed against him. They were against him. And you think of all the people in the world past, present, and future. And I would say, if you were still in your sins, He died especially for you. For you. Think about it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift of grace. It's a life-giving gift. Eternal life. You shall have eternal life. Think about it. All eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The opposite of that is eternal death. Eternal death in hell. And that death is not a death where you just succumb unconsciously and you know nothing about what's going on. No, it's a living death. The Bible tells us that there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever in the lake of fire. Can you imagine the torment of the lake of fire be burning forever and ever and never die? Suffer eternally. Jesus Christ says, we'll rescue from that. Rescue you from that if you only trust Him as your Savior. You think about the wrath of God and how He poured out His anger on His Son because He was bearing our sins in His own body. Your sins and my sins. He is the psalmist shepherd. It's only then we know the sweetness of the shepherd's care, who is God's Son. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. If anyone has truly been born again by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, then they can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and know the sweetness of His care. He is my shepherd. If he is be a shepherd to no one else, He is my shepherd. Each one individually. Isn't that amazing? The omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, and then the ever-presence of God. That he, you know Him as your shepherd. He wants to lead you. He wants you to follow Him. Sometimes we fail to do that, don't we, saints? But He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He wants to care for you. These words are in present tense. Now. Jesus said, I am the God, when He talked to Moses. Moses asked, who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? Just tell him, I am have sent you. He's present. It's not yesterday. It's today. It's not tomorrow. It's today that He's our shepherd. But He will be if you live tomorrow. He has been in the past. Think of how many times God has taken care of you when you were in trouble or you were having problems and things worked out. Maybe not the way you wanted them to, but the way that God wanted them to work out. They worked out for you because you belong to Him. You are His sheep. Whatever be the believer's practice, he is even now under the shepherd's care. If you're wandering away from God, doing your own thing, which I have done for a while, but God, as Worth Ellis said, God took a 2x4 out of His wood pile and stroked me in the head and woke me up. And one time I was wandering doing my own thing. But God got a hold of me. And I'll tell you the story. I'm going to Tabernacle Baptist Church. T.A. Lester was preaching, evangelist. And I just got off work from the golf course. I was in my shorts, kind of dirty, grubby. And I said, well, I don't know if I should go or not. Then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I see Paul's car at the end of the parking lot, I'll go in. Lo and behold, know where a car was? Sticking right next to the road, inside the parking lot. So I walked in. T.L.S. was preaching the gospel. And then he said, the last question he asked of them, anybody here hadn't been reading their Bible? And me, like a fool, I raised my hand. Guilty. Hadn't read my Bible for a while. I walked up front and asked for prayer. He prayed over me. And praise God, he lit a fire in my heart. Been reading the Bible since. And that's been many years ago. I don't know how many. Falling in love with Jesus more and more every day. Learning to treat my wife better. Learning to treat others better. Learning to treat my brothers and sisters in the Lord better. Because God got a hold of my heart. And I was saved. Did you know people that are saved can wander from God? They shouldn't, because of God's love. But we're under the shepherd's care no matter what we do. If you are without Jesus and without God and never ask Jesus to come into your heart, you have no shepherd. What a sad situation. Have no shepherd. We all have a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He would take care of us in our needs. He is the chief shepherd. He's over all his sheep, the whole flock of God. If you have no shepherd, you have no eternal life. You have no personal relationship with God and His Son. God and His Son wants us to be under His care. He wants us to have eternal life. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And he reaches out day after day after day for the lost. There are many, many, many unsaved people. In fact, the Lord said, broad is the way to eternal life, and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. But we need to reach out to the few that would find that life. We don't know. That's the reason we need to preach the gospel, is because we don't know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. God knows who's going to be saved and who's not. But we don't. That's why we have the responsibility to preach the gospel. God and His Son wants us to be under His care. He wants us to have eternal life. Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave His life for the sheep. If you want to, notice I said, if you want to, you have to have a desire. Remember He told the Pharisees, you do not believe because you are none of my sheep. And you will not believe because what I have told you is true, but you don't believe it. You have to have a want to. You have to have a want to do anything for God. Sometimes we don't feel like, well, I need to do this and I need to do that. I need to love that brother and sister the way God loves me. I need to treat them the way I want to be treated. I might not like the way he lives. I might not like the way he or she does things. I might not like whatever about that person. But God tells us to love them anyway, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have that love that we can give if we only yield ourselves to God and love that person the way God wants us to love. He loves us with that agape love that says, I love you no matter what you do. I love you. And that's the kind of love he has for the whole world. He died for the whole world, that kind of love. I love you. Even while you were yet in your sins, the Bible says that God loves you. And Jesus gave his life for you. Regardless how bad you feel about yourself, if you are saved and you're away from God, God's still pouring his love out on you every day. And we need to be recipients of that love and allow it to infuse our life in a real and definite way so that we can expose that love to others the way that God loves us. Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And if you want to, notice I said if you want to have to have a desire to be saved and have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. He loves you. He died for you and rose from the dead. He won the victory. Rose from the dead to life so that you could have eternal life. That's the importance of the resurrection. Jesus died. He was buried, proving that he had paid the price for our sins. And he rose again the third day, which proves that God accepted the payment that he made for our sins. And Jesus lived a perfect life without sin whatsoever. In 2 Corinthians, I think it is, that he who knew no sin, God made him sin that we might have eternal life. And we have the righteousness of God. When you get saved, God pours his righteousness and counts you as righteous as God himself. Can you imagine that? Now I look at myself and I say, Tim, you have no reason to complain about somebody else and what they do or don't do. When I look at myself, I say, man, why am I judging other people? Should we, saints? God says, judge not lest you be judged by the same judgment. We're supposed to love one another the way we ought to, the way God tells us to. And I think, Lord, I don't know why you love me, but I accept it. All of us here this morning would say that, wouldn't you? Why should he love me so? Why should he to Calvary go? Because he wanted to. He loves you. He died for you. Rose from the dead to life so that you could have eternal life. The only other alternative is eternal separation from God because of your sins. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is living, the glory of God is living a perfect, holy life, and none of us can do that. One day we will. We will be as He is. we're caught up to heaven. What a wonderful future we have before us, saints. I wish he would come today. And Jesus lived that perfect life. There was no sin in him. He was separate from sin. He was able, he was fit, he was pure and holy, innocent, without any blemishes at all, to be that perfect sacrifice for all our sins. God the Father sent God the Son to die for all the sins of the whole world. This is the gospel. Jesus died because sin had to be paid for. He was buried to prove our sins had been paid for. And God raised him from the dead to prove that Jesus had satisfied his judgment and wrath against our sins. Jesus today lives that we might live. None of us can live a perfect, holy life. That's why Jesus says, whosoever believes in me has eternal life. And he knows that we're going to fail him. He knows we're going to sin. These sins have been paid for. But he will chastise us if we're his children. He'll chastise. He'll punish us. And I have felt that. I have felt that rod. And it gets me going the right way. Whosoever believes in me, Jesus said, has eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. If you do not want to believe, you do not believe, you are not one of his sheep, not to receive eternal life. Receiving Jesus is eternal death. And the Bible says in Revelation 20:14, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalms 100 it says, he is our creator. He made us. We're not our own. We owe ourselves to him because he created us. He's our owner. If you belong to him, he's your owner. If you don't belong to him, he's not. His people, we are his people. He leads us and he sustains us. He's our Savior and our successor. God loves you. Now I know most of you are saved, but I wanted to preach the old story. And I hope that I've encouraged you, knowing that God loves you. And he experienced all these things so that we could have eternal life. You think of all the ridicule and the blasphemous words they hurled at Jesus, spit in his face, and cursed him, hated him with a hatred in their hearts. But later on, Peter preached the gospel, this Jesus whom you have crucified is on you. And he preached the gospel, and many 3,000 people got saved. What a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. It teaches us how to love you and how to walk and follow you in our lives, Father. How to be obedient to your word. How to relate to one another, your dear children in the family, Father. Father, We wish we could say that we love you as much as you love us, but we know that our love is not as great as yours. We thank you. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Help us to leave this place being encouraged, knowing your love for us, to walk the way you want us to walk, to live with you. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who gave his utmost for us. His name, amen. Amen.